Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Stros Bros podcast for the week of April 8th, 2013. I'm your host, Richard Perez, and beside me is Lee White.
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. On deck for today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the Astros' five-game losing streak, the atrocious slump, and the obscene amount of strikeouts they've got, and we'll be discussing what's going on in the minor leagues. All that and more after this.
There it is! The Astros have won the Central Division title.
It's gone! It's gone! It's gone!
Line drive right center field, that's number 3,000! One away to say goodbye.
And now, you're listening to the Astros.
And welcome back, everybody. All right, Lee, let's get right into it. So the Astros are 0-5 since opening day. And is a five-game losing streak bad? Is that bad?
You know, I mean, I guess it could be worse. It could be a six-game losing streak.
Yeah, that's true. I was kind of hoping you could come in and say, well, that's not good. But, yeah, you know, a lot of people – let's put it this way. A lot of people expected us to be 0-6. Rather than being, you know, 1-5. So, you know, we've got that going for us.
Yeah, that's something that is, I guess, quote unquote, good from our season so far.
Yeah, that's just the only good note. And really, I think, you know, I think for this year, it's got to be taken about the – I wrote a post about this the other day. You got to take the positives from a lot of this. If you build up on the negativity, it's only going to make it worse.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think Bo Porter's going to do a good job of that. He sat Brett Wallace today. Or, no, it might not have been today that he sat him. He pinch hit for him today in like the fifth or sixth inning, but you can tell a benching's on his way down. Actually, no, he was sat today. It was yesterday that I was pinch hit for. But, Bo Porter, he's going to do a good job of taking the positives away from all these negatives.
Yeah, and I think if that falls in anybody's lap, I think it falls into Bo's lap more for being the head, you know, in charge of these guys. Mm-hmm. So and I trust the guy. He really hasn't shown us anything why we shouldn't trust him. So I think it's a good thing to show, you know, that we do trust him with this. And I think it's only for the best.
Oh yeah, I mean, he hadn't shown anything why, you know. We should not trust him. He's going to be a great manager in the future. He just doesn't have a team to work with right now, so the wins aren't going to be there. But I think the worst part about this season so far is the opening night victory. Call me crazy, but I think the opening night victory led to a lot of false hope for fans.
You know, I never thought about that. I think you're onto something there because – I was on, I guess you could say I was a little bit delusional, drinking the Kool-Aid of sorts. And it's been on the opening day, from the opening day high. You know, mm-hmm. I've been on the high and saying, you know, oh, these guys aren't that bad. These guys aren't that bad. You know, give them some time. And I think I might be, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow, but I think I just may be overly positive, you know, might be, you know, shooting too high, too expecting too much. You know, then again, these guys are the Astros, you know. Just because of one opening day win, they aren't changing to be world beaters, you know.
Yeah. Another thing is, during spring training, everybody was like, well, this team's going to strike out a ton. This team's going to strike out a ton. They were still winning games, you know, they were playing good. Come opening night, I mean, they struck out a ton, but they played well. They got the win. Now they're playing bad, and they're still striking out a ton. And people are acting like this whole strikeout situation is something new. But everybody saw it during spring training. They were still striking out a ton during spring training. The strikeouts that we're going to talk about, you know, should not be that big of a surprise to anybody if you look at who's on the roster. Just about everybody on the roster has had their problems with the strikeout. And where a lot of people are acting like, you know, oh my God, where are all these strikeouts coming from? Well, look who's on the team. Brett Wallace had his issues with strikeouts. Chris Carter has his issues with strikeouts. Carlos Pena has his issues with strikeouts. Rick Ankiel has his issues with strikeouts. Jose Altuve, I love him. He can hit, has his issues with strikeouts. Justin Maxwell, same thing. He can hit, has his issues with strikeouts. Everybody has their issues with strikeouts on this team. That should not be a big surprise when you put them all together on the same team facing top-tier pitching.
Yeah, you know, and I guess because we didn't get to see many Astros games in spring training, so we weren't necessarily exposed to it. And I guess that is the that's what it was. And I agree with you 100%. I don't disagree either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that, you know, early in the year you can expect, you know how Bo Porter talked about those 35 games last year where the Astros could have won, but they didn't. Well, you're already starting to see some games already where the Astros could have won, but an error prevented them from winning. And I think as we move further along in the year, they're going to get that connection. They're going to be more mentally tough to be able to make those plays as the season goes on. You know, they're going to be able to recognize them and be able to step up and make the plays. But, like, it was the first game against the A's. We should have won that game 3-2. Sounds crazy because we got blown out, what, 8-3?
Yeah.
But there was a double play ball hit at Marvin Gonzalez that it hit the heel of his glove and flew right over him. And that led to 6 unearned runs that inning, or 7 unearned runs that inning, and we lost 8-3. It was 3-1 at that point.
Yeah, and then when that's exactly what I was gonna say. That really blew it open, and mm-hmm. had the Astros played, you know, solid, had, you know, I guess that's just a bounce that doesn't go our way, or it could have been a mental lapse. We'll never know. But, you know, had he made that, like the Yu Darvish game, you know, mm-hmm. had there been, you know, a connection here or there, had we taken one less swing, there's a multitude of things that could go in either way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty about baseball. One swing of the bat can change anything and everything.
Exactly. And any team can win on any given night. Of course, it just hadn't been the Astros night here lately. But that's not to say they're going to be this bad all year, because I have, with all my heart, I believe that they will not be this bad all year long. And come June or July, we're going to see a completely different roster just about. We may even get to see John Singleton up pretty soon after that, you know, maybe even George Springer. So it's going to be a new team. We just got to wait, you know, and it's going to be tough here early on. But I think once they get the – because, you know, they're a big sabermetrics team. Once they find out what count pitchers are throwing this certain pitch at and what not to swing, which is going to be here in a week or two, maybe, hopefully, whenever every pitcher gets at least 3 starts in, so they know, I mean, what their go-to pitch is in a certain count. They'll be able to lay off certain pitches that are in the dirt that they have been swinging at and drop those K counts down.
Yeah, and it's going to be a long time. Or not necessarily a long time, but I think it's just because we are in the thick of it. You know, the start of the – not the thick of it was the right word, but the start of the season, it's going to be a rough start.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In a way, we should have expected this. But mm-hmm. with this team, there was nothing you really could have known. There was no nothing to base it on. And I'm just a little disappointed of it all, because I had a little bit higher hopes. But in all reality, my hopes should have been checked. I think this is going to be where the Astros start to learn to get what you said, get their K count down, look to take certain pitches. Because really, aside from Ankiel, Maxwell, Altuve, maybe even Altuve and Brett Wallace, these guys are basically minor league guys, really. Even Altuve is a minor league guy. And they're performing somewhat at a major league level. So really, I think it's up to Bo Porter and the Astros coaching staff to get these guys you know, in tune for to be a major league player.
Mm-hmm. John Maley, the hitting coach, he played a big part, and he's playing a big part in this. I think he's more of an aggressive hitting coach, which I'm fine with, as long as they can, you know, learn which pitches to take, which I'm sure they will at some point in time. But if the Astros can be aggressive early on in the count, because from watching the first six games of the year, it is clear what is going on. The pitchers are getting ahead in the count early. They're throwing early strikes to get 0-1, 0-2. And then they're dropping sliders and dropping curves and trying to get these hitters to chase, these young hitters, and they're chasing. Well, yeah. I'm thinking if the Astros can get aggressive early in the count, maybe they can get some good hits and, you know, chase some of these starters out early, because you're seeing a lot of these players, they're taking hacks. I mean, they're starting to take hacks, you know, early in the count. And they've dropped their K numbers down, or at least I know in the Bartolo Colon start, they dropped their K numbers down pretty well. They only struck out four times. But they were getting hits in that game because they were going after the first pitch, because Bartolo Colon was throwing strikes. And he would try to get them to chase every once in a while. But a lot of times they were getting their pitch early on, and they were taking it out. You know, they were putting it in the outfield, whether it was a fly ball or whether it was a single or whether it was a ground ball. And that's just something they need to do. They need to make the infielders and outfielders work more, because they'll catch more breaks that way than just swinging at pitches down in the dirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, I totally agree. You basically took the words right out of my mouth and made the same analysis that I made. Mm-hmm. And one of the bigger things that I think it's a lot of going back to basics, going back to what got you there in the first place, playing ball. You know, I don't know if you know if you were taught this, but usually in a pitcher's count, you more than likely going to see a curve ball or a breaking ball of any sorts to get you to chase. And really, I don't know if they were taught to go after it and to chase, but, you know, it looked like they were swinging recklessly up there. And it was a little frustrating, to be honest, watching them swing so, you know, carelessly up there, just trying to get any sort of hits. And, yeah, I just – if there's any way – there's 162 games this year, you know, as always. So there's plenty of time to get this straightened out. So I don't think we should be too negative on it right now, as I've said before. And we should just let it play out, and maybe on a change of scenery, going to Seattle and then going to some West Coast games, or, you know, in California, we'll see something different, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
See, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and get this off my chest real quick. You know, I'm a huge Burt Wallace backer.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I had high hopes for him coming into this year, and I still kind of do. I think he can work it out maybe, but we still got to give him time just because, you know, Singleton is on the suspension list right now. But Brett Wallace needs to get it going. He came into camp this year. He changed his stance. He had more weight on his back foot. He was hitting the ball well, and he lost a lot of weight. He was in shape. You know, he was looking like he could maybe do something good this year. And I'm still holding out a little hope for him, because I still believe people, you know, I mean, they're jumping on him right now, but I'm hoping that maybe he can turn it around. But he's just getting beat inside every single pitch, and it's just so frustrating. They're getting ahead on him, and they're going to throw a slider on the inside every single time, and he's going to swing at it. And it's just so frustrating, because I know it's coming. I'm sure he knows it's coming. It's going to be inside, but he just swings every time. He just needs to get it going.
That's usually the worst thing, and I think a good BP sesh can straighten that out. You know, it's going to take a few hours and, you know, a day in the cage to get that worked out. And it's one of those things, and it makes it worse, because you know it's coming, and you can feel it already, and you know it's going to come, and the pitcher knows, you know, and he still gets you to beat on it. And that's really – and, you know, it – this goes back to my point. Taking the positives doesn't necessarily go on the fans. It's also for the players as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only going to build up in his mind. It's like, man, I knew this thing was coming. How could I have screwed this up? And, you know, how can I screw this up when I knew it was coming? What did I do? And, you know, the negatives pile up and pile up and pile up. And eventually he's swinging at and whiffing more often than not. And, you know, I'm not you are a Brett Wallace fanboy, though same way I'm a Lucas Harrell fanboy. So really, I understand. And, you know, I've got nothing against Brett Wallace. And but personally, I kind of wish the Singleton suspension really never happened, because
I do, too. I do, too. I fully do. Because, number one, I don't think Singleton would be on the roster yet. But number one, Brett Wallace would be able to look at AAA and be like, holy crap, we got this beast at first base that's coming to take my job.
Yeah, he
I need to get it going.
He would definitely have a fire lit under his butt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that would benefit Brett Wallace. I was about to say George Springer, but that's in the next half. That would certainly benefit Brett Wallace, just having the having Wallace there to light a fire up under his butt.
Mm-hmm.
Or Wallace, Singleton, I'm sorry. But yeah, and I think maybe how'd you say, the 50 games is a good amount of time for Wallace to get his chance. And, you know, once those 50 games are up, Singleton's probably going to have free reign. Once he gets into maybe Double A, he'll start off in Corpus, then go up to Triple A.
No, I think he'll be right at AAA waiting on the call.
Yeah, because more than likely he's in an extended spring, right?
I think, yeah, I'm almost 100% sure he is, because he can't play any games. There's no point in him being with the Hooks or the Red Hawks, and I'm pretty sure he'll start at Oklahoma City. But there's really no reason for him to be with either one of those clubs. So I think he's down in Kissimmee working out some kinks and getting in game shape, so...
Yeah, that'd be – I mean, so once this – and six games are gone so far. Does it go by the minor league schedule or by the big league schedule?
Minor leagues, I think, because he wasn't on the 25-man roster.
Okay.
If he was on the 25-man roster, he wouldn't have gotten suspended in the first place.
No, I think it counted. Brian Smith at Cron Astros dispelled that. I know we took that to him. I know specifically we took that to him, and he said no, he'd still be suspended.
No, he wouldn't. I know for a fact he wouldn't. Keith Law and many other high-profile baseball writers said that had he been on the major league roster at the time that he felt his drug test for weed, he would not be suspended, because they don't suspend major league players for it. They suspend minor league players.
Okay. But I could have swore that Cron, maybe Brian was wrong, I don't know. But let's see how many games. So there's four games out of the 50. So 46 more to go for till Springer's back.
Hashtag free John Singleton.
Hashtag free John Singleton, buddy. Hashtag free John Singleton. But you know what else is free? This podcast. And you know what else is free? The second half of it. We'll be coming right back with the second half of the podcast right after this. And we are back here podcasting live from the Strasburg Studios in beautiful Houston, Texas, overlooking the historic Houston Astrodome, here with our friend Lee White in the second half of the Strasburg podcast, number 31. Can you believe it, Lee? 31 podcasts already done.
That's crazy, man. That's a pretty good little record we got going on.
Yep, let's keep it going. So in the second half of this 31st podcast, Let's talk about minor leagues, specifically Paul Klimt telling writers in Memphis that he was on his way to, quote, unquote, the show.
You know, that's pretty good for the Astros if he's coming up, because he can provide some bullpen help, which hopefully he'll be used. Like, Josh Fields hadn't been used, which he could provide some help, but he's on the team. But Clemens, if he's up, I'm hoping he'll take Cedeno's spot and provide a lot of help in the bullpen, because the Astros need it.
Yeah, that's something the Astros would need, is a couple extra arms in the bullpen, or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a new arm, I guess you could say, because I think Xavier Cedeno is really not all that great.
No, he's not.
And he showed that even last year. And what was it, the second game against the Rangers? I think I said he came out, right? In the second game, or was it the third game?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know he came out in the A's game and he raised his ERA from 90 to 108.
Oh, good Lord. And we thought Brandon Lyon was bad.
Hey, but I'll give Cedeno some props, you know, where they're due. He came out today and he shut the A's down when the Astros needed him to. It didn't really matter either way, except for that the deficit was a little less. He came in and he pitched a pretty strong 3 2/3 of an inning, so lowered his ERA a little bit.
Hey, there you go. Nothing to scoff at there for going 3 2/3 in a major league against a major league roster. There you go.
Shut him down.
Shut him down, man. So
didn't give up any runs.
Surprising, right?
Yeah.
So big props to you, big man, for doing that. Wow, that's cool. But, you know, he gave up, what, 2-3 runs in that Rangers game, and I said he was in midseason form. So mm-hmm. really, I expected nothing less from the guy. And when it comes to Xavier Cedeno, it was kind of like Fernando Abad. It's a bad decision to bring him out. And, yeah, we need to get that guy out of there. I think we've given him a little bit too much of a, I guess you could say we give him one too many chances. And who knows, maybe he'll go somewhere, have a better, you know, better output somewhere else. But I don't think he's going to cut it in Houston.
Yeah, I don't think he will either. And I think now with this Paul Klimt news, of course, it still hadn't been made official yet. Nobody's... like, no beat writers or anything. They've basically been silent since the end of the game. But if he is indeed being called up like he said he was, and he is, if I had to guess, taking the spot of Cedeno, I think the reason why we saw Cedeno so much early on is to, you know, if Bo Porter and Jeff Luhnow wanted to see what Cedeno could do, if they didn't like it, send him down, bring up Paul Klimt.
Yeah, that's one of the that makes a lot of sense.
Instead of wasting one of Paul Clemens' options by bringing him up, him getting shelled, sending him back down, bringing up Cedeno.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. And really, I think the bode it's a showing that it's something's probably more than likely confirmed is when the Astros and beat writers are silenced about it. Or some a subject. If nothing is going on with the Astros, if it's completely silent, then it's a good chance then that whatever is being rumored is true.
Yeah, and the thing that got me was multiple fans saw this. You know, they saw him pack his bags in the dugout, shake hands with his teammates and coaches, and then apparently he told some fans, probably if I had to guess, family members, that he was going to the show. And left. And it was during the middle of the game. It wasn't like it was at the end of a game. It was during the middle of a AAA game today. So I think he's on his way up.
Yeah. And I really think, I don't know. I mean, he could be, as you mentioned off the air, he could be being sent out to a Colorado for a Aaron Harang.
Which I personally think that would be too big. I mean, it's not really like a horrible, horrible trade, but I still think that's too much for the Astros to send for Aaron Harang, personally. So
yeah, I wouldn't want to give up Paul Clemens either way. I see a lot of potential in Paul Clemens, and I really liked watching him down here in Corpus. So if we were to trade him, you know, especially for Aaron Harang. I'm not really feeling that, as it were. But if they feel that it's the best best decision, you know, I could go for that. But
the thing with the Aaron Harang trade, possibly, I mean, all that was MLB trade rumor saying, you know, Aaron Harang was DFA'd and that the Astros have interest in him.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is Harang would provide the Astros a big upper hand in come trade deadline time with starting pitchers, because, you know, they already have Bud Norris and Lucas Harrell. Add Aaron Harang to the mix, you got three quality pitchers, two of them veterans, that that major league teams want. Mainly they want Harang because he can eat you some innings. You know, he'll just straight take him off the plate and eat them for you. While Bud Norris, you put him on a good team, he can get you some quality wins, and same with Lucas Harrell.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, speaking of the minor leagues, I went to a – I attended – I was in Whataburger Field, the friendly confines of Whataburger Field, and I saw a couple of little Hooks games.
And how was that?
Let me tell you, George Springer is that guy. Oh. George Springer is confirmed GOAT prospect, let me tell you. And for those of you who don't know, GOAT is an acronym for greatest of all time. But George Springer, let me put this into a not perspective, but let me draw you a little picture. George Springer hits a little pop up, shallow, very shallow right field. You could say deep in the first base infield, nobody on, and no outs really. George Springer, the dude's hauling down the first base on a routine pop fly that would look to be a routine pop fly. But there goes the second baseman and the right fielder, and they let it fall right in between them. And you look down, and there goes Springer. He's hauling towards second. He legs out a double on a misplay by the second baseman and the right fielder. Now, granted, that misplay won't happen in the major leagues. But to show that kind of hustle and that kind of speed, George Springer is that guy. Let me tell you.
You know, you bring up hustle in the minor leagues, and I just want to throw this out. I know we're talking about minor leagues right now, but when the Astros have hit ground balls, they have actually been running this year. Last year, you know, you saw them just, you know, kind of take their time, know their limitations. But I've seen Carlos Pena bust his butt to try to get to first and beat up plays where he has really no chance, and he's causing the infielders to try to do some work when he hadn't struck out. There was a play that really caught my attention where he grounded into the shift and he sprinted. He busted his butt and slid headfirst into first base. And I was like, whoa, I'm not used to Carlos busting his butt like that, you know. I'm used to Carlos Lee just kind of walking to first base. Carlos Pena, you know, he strikes out a lot. But, you know, if he can put the ball in play and show some hustle like that, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned that in a previous podcast, and I really like that. I really like seeing that. I think that that's really good, and I think it stems from the whole revitalization of the whole clubhouse, as you will, if you will. And it's really – I think it stems from Bo Porter just putting – you know, revitalizing these guys. And I think they all bust their butt for Bo Porter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a good thing to see these guys hustle. It makes – you know, it's good to see these guys hustle.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're going to strike out a ton. Everybody knows that. You're seeing it firsthand. But if they put the ball in play and make the infielders work, they're going to get some breaks along the way as well.
Yeah, most certainly. If you hustle out, you're going to get a break here and there. That's just, it's bound to happen.
Now, obviously, we saw a little bit of the hustle turn into greed from both Chris Carter and Justin Maxwell today. Chris Carter, there was an error, and he tried to go from first to third on the error, and he got thrown out at third. He did look like he slid under the tag, but the umpire called him out. You don't want to make the last out of third. And also for Justin Maxwell, he grounded out, and it was a fielder's choice, but the ball went over the first baseman's head, and he just took a big turn at first, tried to bust his butt to second, but not knowing that there is a fence. I'm sure he knew, but he was still busting his butt. There's a fence right there behind first base, and it just hit the fence, bounced right up. First baseman caught it, threw him out of second. No play, you know. So you see some hustle turn to greed every once in a while, and they get thrown out making a bad mistake. But I'll take the hustle all day, every day, over just, you know, knowing your limitations and just walking it out. So
yeah, I'll take that as well. And really, it's one of those split decisions where if they fail, they look kind of dumb. But mm-hmm. if they succeed, they look really smart. And it's like, oh, they're hustle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So really, yeah. it's one of those it's one of those decisions where you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And these guys are professionals. They know what they're doing. And they took a chance on it. And hey, man, that's baseball. That happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. But I'll take the hustle every day. So.
Oh, absolutely. You can never go wrong with a hustle. You can never go wrong with the hustle. And, you know, speaking of hustle, turning into greed, I'm not sure their names, but there's a catcher here in Corpus named Carlos Perez.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some shots put out into right field. And I can't remember. There was one in the right field and one into Springer in center. No, they're both to Springer in center, as a matter of fact. And Springer guns it in. I mean, he guns it. And the guy's rounding third and comes in, and he collides with Carlos Perez. And, I mean, let me tell you, Carlos got decked both times. He took big hits. And he hung on to the ball. And it looked like in 2003 playoffs with Pudge Rodriguez, when he took a huge hit when he was with the Marlins. And he took a huge hit, and he held on to the ball, and he was real pumped. And, you know, that's what it reminded me of. And, you know, maybe Castro has a competition down in the minor leagues with Carlos Perez. Because that really impressed me a lot. And his bat, too. He had a good few at-bats when I watched him. But mainly his defensive play is what impressed me the most.
I think the biggest competition we're going to see between Castro and another catcher is going to be with Max Stassi. He's finally healthy. He's off his sports hernia. If he can be the prospect that he was with the A's, which was – I think he was their number 10 prospect overall, he could be a good catching prospect. But in Castro's last game, he didn't play today. He got the day off after catching a night game before a day game.
Uh-huh.
But he went 2-for-4 with a home run, a 3-run home run, and a nice single. He started off slow too, but he may be breaking out of a slump. He's healthy for once. You know, that's a good sign if he can get those legs under him. He's looked very good behind the mound. You know, with these Astros pitchers, they're getting their pitch counts up. They're throwing a lot of breaking balls in the dirt. And he's blocked just about every single one of them. So that is a really good sign. And he's made some good strong throws down to second base too. So he's looking a lot better this year than he has in the past.
So let me pose this question to you. We know it's kind of come to terms with amongst Astro fans that Bud Norris is on the block. Or will be on the block come, you know, trade deadline.
Yeah.
Do you think Castro could be placed on the deadline on the block as well?
No, because I don't think there's a solid enough catcher that's ready right now to take his spot. I mean, you got Corporon, but I don't think Corporon could get the job done day in and day out. So I don't know if Castro will be on the block either.
Well, let me pose this to you. What about the Chris Johnson? You could say that there was not a solid third baseman behind Johnson either.
Matt Dominguez, he was there first. I mean, or not first, but he was there. And his glove has always been major league ready. So
yeah, Matt Dominguez, he's impressed me. That's one
his guy defense. His defense has been the highlight of our homestand besides opening night victory.
Yeah, Matt Dominguez is one guy that has impressed me.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and brag on him real quick. Excuse me. It was opening night. I was telling my brother, you know, he's a Rangers fan. And I told him, I said, look, you got to watch out for Matt Dominguez. Dude can play some defense. I was like, he's a future Gold Glover, you know, as long as we can get Adrian Beltre out of the division. And, well, Next thing I know, Dominguez makes a beautiful diving stop, throws out the runner at first. So I was like, what did I tell you about that defense? That's defense, boy. You know, just bragging a little bit, giving him a little hard time. Next inning, smash, same exact play to Adrian Beltre, goes under his glove for a single. I looked at my brother. I was like, that's defense, boy. Now, of course, Adrian Beltre is Adrian Beltre. You know, he's Gold Glover, and he's perennial Gold Glover, and he'll be Gold Glover until he's too old to play third base.
Yeah, and he'll still be on that overpaid contract.
He'll be hitting 300, man. He's a dude can hit.
Yeah, no, I'm just giving him a hard time. You know, Dallas and their overpaid athletes. Oh, well. And, you know, I think that's just about – oh, how are we going to forget Jonathan Meyer?
Oh, dude, we were fixing to forget him, and he was on our list too.
Yeah, Jonathan Meyer in Corpus had just an amazing game against the Springfield Cardinals. I mean, you're talking about this guy hitting for power. He crushed a 426 bomb straight out to center field. And Whataburger Field, I think dead center is 400. And when he hit this ball, as soon as it left the bat, you knew this thing was gone. I mean, it was – he crushed it. He absolutely crushed it. George Springer had also hit a home run that night. His home run, you know, it looked like it might not have gotten out of here. It went 414 that night. But
dang, that's a pretty nice little shot too, though.
Yeah, that was a good shot. It looked like it wasn't going to go. But Jonathan Myers, his shot was a moonshot. I mean – I'm just speechless at how strong it just went. It literally just flew off the bat. You'd have to have seen it to know, you know, you'd have to see it to really know. And there was no doubt. It was one of those no-brainer where, you know, if your guy hit it in Major League Baseball, the show, he would have just flung his bat and trotted off. That's basically what it was.
That's what my guy does.
Yeah. It was an amazing, 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 amazing hit. So keep an eye out for that guy. He may be coming up soon.
Maybe, but he'll probably have to go through AAA first. He's not on the 40-man roster.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. So maybe a move will get made to where he's put on the 40-man. You never know. But this guy, hopefully he'll have another good year. Hopefully he'll have a good year this year here in Corpus and make some headways going up to Houston.
Yeah, he didn't have too bad of a year at Lancaster last year. He hit 272 with 315 on base, but he could certainly do better, I'm sure. But he's off to a pretty good start again at AAA.
Corpus.
Yeah, Corpus, my bad. He's off to a good start at Corpus.
Yeah, well, I think with that little, I think that's just going to about wrap it up. It's getting a little late here, and we'll have to call it a night here at the Stros Bros Podcast Studios. We have to shut it down. Lee, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. At LeeWhite_73, at YokoRick, YokoRick, at The Stros Bros on Twitter. That's a good story right there. That's a funny story. The Stros Bros, all one word. And follow, like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheStrosBros. Again, that's all one word. And if you're not already subscribed, subscribe to us on iTunes, yo.
Oh, for sure.
All right, Lee. Well, I think that's just about it. Any last words? Anything?
Go Astros.
I co-signed, buddy. Co-signed. I agree 100%. Go Astros. All right, guys. So thank you for listening. We appreciate this. Any questions, comments, iTunes or Twitter, you already have that up there. So we appreciate it, guys, and we will see you next time.
Peace.
Well, now my hands are covered with the blood of all the thoughts that flood my aching mind. I know that when left alone, I'll find the time to match your desires up to mine and see what's right. Pushing me down in the dirt, and I ask 'cause you don't give up on me.